was. That I don't try. Just useless. So for the last 3 years, trying to be useless. I'll be useless. You can do Maria. So I pray tonight that I'm not foolish, but that's in the Lord's hand. I want to read some scripture. Found in the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus was in the early of his ministry, he was calling out those that would follow him. He would eventually ordain as apostles. In the ninth verse of this ninth chapter, the scripture said, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Well, when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus said to them, Go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And we find a very similar passage of scripture where Jesus used the same words again later. When those same self-righteous Pharisees criticized Jesus and his disciples for every move they made, it seemed. In the 12th chapter, Jesus and his disciples on the Sabbath day had passed through a field of corn or a field of grain. We see them now. The wheat is turning gold. And they had passed through this field, and as they went through, some of his disciples had reached over and gotten a head of grain and shelled it out and eaten it. The Pharisees raised that as an issue because they considered that working on the Sabbath day. And again, they raised that issue of why that Jesus' disciples did that which they considered unlawful to do on the Sabbath day. Jesus' answer to them was, If ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Over in the 23rd chapter, I want to read another verse here. Jesus said to those that were always harping and criticizing him and his disciples, trying to find something that they could charge them with under the law, Jesus said, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and nise and cumin, little herbs that they grew to flavor their food and other things. You pay tithes of those things, he said, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. He said, these ye ought to have done, but not to leave the other undone. They were careful to pay tithes of even the little herbs that they grew in their gardens. When they harvested them and they took the leaves off of them, they would count out 9 for themselves and 1 to go to the priest. They were careful in all those matters, but he said, ye have omitted the weightier matters of the law. In Ephesians, and I want to read a verse or two of scripture there, but in the book of Ephesians, in the 2nd chapter, the scripture says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. I want to talk about the mercy of God tonight. It is a subject that I'm not able to tell you as much about as I would like to, but a subject that is dear to me because I found the mercy of God. It must be experienced. In fact, the mercy of God has allowed every one of us to live another day and to assemble here tonight. Mercy is defined, I guess, I used to hear old preachers say that justice is when you get what you deserve, and mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. We know what we all deserve because we're all sinners. But because of God's mercy, some of us tonight can say, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But it's only by the mercy of God that we can say that. There's a song that says, justice called, but mercy answered. Justice called because God is a just and holy God. Justice calls all of us to repentance. But mercy answers the mercy of God. I want to say tonight that God does not love or condone sin. In no way. God does not love, he doesn't condone sin. But he loves the sinner. He loves the sinner. It is hard for the religious world to get their head wrapped around the fact that God hates sin but loves the sinner. But he does. And by his mercy that has been displayed and given and extended to this world, God's mercy. Over in the book of Exodus, in the 25th chapter, when God had spoken to Moses about building a tabernacle for the habitation of God among the nation of Israel, God wanted to dwell among them. I'm glad God wants to dwell among us. And he's here tonight. I know he's here because I can feel him. But God wants to dwell among his people, and he instructed Moses for Israel to build a tabernacle. And he gave him the pattern for all that was to be built, the tent structure itself and all of the furnishings that was to go in the tabernacle. And he told him to make everything according to the pattern. One of, I guess, the most important item that was in there was inside, there was the golden altar. There was the lamp with seven lights, and there was the table of the showbread. But there was an ark. It was just a wooden box, about 45 inches long, 27 inches wide or so, but it was to be overlaid with gold. You know, God is holy, 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 holy. That ark that represented God and his presence, it couldn't just be made any way. It had to be made out of gold, the purest thing, I guess, that man could come up with. But the top of that ark, there was to be a covering for that. And that was called the mercy seat. And that mercy seat had cherubims on each end coming up, and they was angelic-like beings or symbolized the angelic beings. And these cherubims, they arched up from each end, and their wings were spread, and they were looking down upon the top of that mercy seat. In the ark, there was the tables of stone, the law of God that man violated and had transgressed. The pot of manna that was the bread of life that came down from heaven. Aaron's rod that budded. The Holy Spirit, if you will, is what it represented, I believe. I wish I could describe this to you as I understand it in my heart and mind, but it's the most beautiful picture, if you will, that the Word of God has ever painted. That mercy seat, where the priest would go in once a year and take the blood of a bullock and offer for himself. You know, the priest was just a sinner too. He had to go in and first offer for himself, and then he would come out and he would go in again to offer a blood sacrifice for the people. And with his finger, he would sprinkle that blood seven times upon the mercy seat. An offering for the sin of man. The mercy seat. It was a picture, I believe, that everything about that was a picture of Christ. I believe it was a foreshadow of Christ. In the book of John, actually in the book of 1 John, chapter 2 and 20, the scripture says, "For he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world." It was the blood of Jesus that was sprinkled there that symbolized that taking away of sin. But it is the blood of Jesus that takes away sin. There's nothing else. You know, when we as sinners, when we come to Jesus, when we find His mercy, when we come to Him and we receive that sprinkling of blood as a propitiation for our sins that takes away our sins and washes them away, we have come to the mercy seat. You know, David, the scripture said he was a man after God's own heart. And David was a man, and you know all of his faults. You know, God reveals almost all of them in the scripture, I believe. He does that. But yet, David was a man after God's own heart. I believe he sought after God, and he sought after the mercy of God. In 28 of the Psalms that David wrote, he spoke of mercy. 28 of the Psalms that he wrote many. In the 90th Psalm that was written by Moses, he spoke of mercy. He said, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy." I'm glad I found the mercy of God at 14 years old. But if you didn't find it at 14, if you didn't find it at 20, if you didn't find it at 40, if you didn't find it at 60, keep seeking for the mercy of God. Because it can be found. The writer of the 136th Psalm, I looked at it today and I read it. These preachers that are here know. 26 verses and every verse ends. Every verse ends with, "For His mercy endureth forever." His mercy endureth forever. There was two men that was sitting by the side of the road one day, and Jesus passed by. You know, many times in the scriptures, in the New Testament, when Jesus was going about His ministry, it'll say Jesus passed by. He passed by coming out of Jericho one day, and there was two blind men sitting by the side of the road. And they cried out to Jesus, and they said, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord, Thou Son of David." That's what they cried for, mercy. Because they needed mercy. Some of those that was in the group, they said, "Be quiet. Be quiet. You're making a disturbance." They just cried louder. Jesus heard them. He stopped. "What will you have me to do? Oh, that we may receive our sight." He gave them sight. He gave them sight. Listen, I can't remember. I'm glad I've been saved a long, long time. But I'm thankful tonight that I can still remember being lost. I can still remember just as plain as yesterday when I went to the altar that very last time that I went. How broken that I was. How condemned that I felt. And I went there to that altar, and that night I'd prayed many times before, but I poured my heart out to God. I surrendered and I said, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm a goner. Well, I'm standing here today because in His mercy, He answered. He answered. You see, the mercy of God is endless. There's no end to His mercy. As long as we're living, we can find His saving mercy. You see, the Scriptures speaks about the Apostle Paul. He wrote to Timothy in the first chapter of Timothy. I want to read that. You know, the Apostle Paul was a man that had once been a persecutor of the Christians. Here's what Paul wrote when he wrote to Timothy. He had already been saved. He was already preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, for He hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. I obtained mercy, he said. For I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul found the mercy of God on that road to Damascus. He found that. In the book of Romans, in the 9th chapter, down in the 15th verse, the Scripture says, for He saith to Moses, that's God, said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. By our own strength, by our own will, we can't do anything. We can't come to God by our own will, by our own strength of Him that runneth. We can't come to God that way. We can only come to God and find His mercy when we just come to Him and surrender it all to Him. Brother Curtis stood here last night. He quoted one of the, I believe, the 116th Psalm, a passage of Scripture from the 116th Psalm. Well, you know, the 116th Psalm has been attributed to David by a lot of people. And I don't know if David wrote that psalm or not. But I know one thing. He wrote the 86th Psalm. He said, for great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. God delivered the soul of David, he said, from the lowest hell by His mercy. without the mercy of God, we would all have been taken away in our sins a long time ago. The scripture says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Oh, I thank God tonight for his mercy. I thank him that he looked down in tender mercy, loving care upon you and upon me that have been saved. Every one of us has a time and a place when he really poured out his mercy upon us. I guess one of the reasons that I love to hear people's testimonies, and I want to say this about testimonies. Most of the time when people tell their testimony, they just give a little piece of it. They don't really tell it all. I know people say, oh, they've already heard it 100 times. They don't want to hear it. There might be somebody there that hadn't heard it ever. Tell all of your testimony sometimes. Just tell it all. I don't care if it takes 30 minutes. I've seen people talk for 30 minutes. If you do, you're telling about the mercy of God upon you. But if you're lost tonight, and without God, I just want you to know that his mercy is still extended. Maybe not for another hour or another day, but right now, it's still extended to you. You still have time and you still have opportunity. In the book of Hebrews, the scripture says, let us come boldly. Now that word sometimes is used in the context of somebody coming, you know, boldly, arrogantly. That's not what it means. The word boldly in the scripture means to come with assurance and with confidence. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Find grace to help in a time of need through the mercy of God. That's what I found. It still works. Nothing has changed. God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. After my wife and I got married, she told me her testimony, how that she got saved at a little church called Brattontown down in Macon County. I remember the first time that her and I ever passed by there on Highway 52. You can see it sitting right there. I slowed down so she could look over and see where the Lord saved her. She still talks about it every once in a while. Mercy. I pray tonight that you'll find the mercy of God and his saving grace before you leave this place tonight. But if you walk out of here and you haven't, I pray that the mercy of God will be extended to you another day. But I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't even change that. Knowing what I know, I wouldn't give that a chance. I'd be here till the sun come up in the morning. I'd be praying and seeking God and crying out to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And I believe he'll hear you if you'll cry in the right way. This is our little message tonight. The mercy of God. That's how a song. If you're lost and without God tonight, would you come? And would you pray and would you seek him? But not just as you have every other time. You see, there has to be the time when it's different. The time when it's different. When you come and you just lose yourself in seeking God and him only. When you do, you'll find him. Go ahead, Brother Strode.
182.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight.